Okay, welcome. Good morning, everybody. It's Rosh Chodesh, Aleph Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It should be a Chodesh Tov for all of us. Iyar stands for Ani Hashem Rofa Echa. I am God, your healer. Halavai, we should be so Zoche. Very difficult time, I'm sure everybody saw, in Eretz Yisrael. Through yesterday into today, continuing, there have been over 400 rockets fired into the southern region. Arad, Ashkelon, Be'er Sheva, schools are closed, direct strikes on factories and cars and homes. So far there have been 3 fatalities, only one name released, just before I left the house, as far as I saw, Moshe Agadi, 58 years old, Zichron Levracha, Shem Yun Kom Damo. He has 4 children. His youngest child is 13. 2 other fatalities. The names were not released as of 20 minutes ago when I left my house. Seriously wounded, people running for shelter, unable to live a life of normalcy. I thought that it would be appropriate to start with a kapitel of Tehillim, so I'm going to start with kapitel Chaf. Any of you know this kapitel off by heart. If you are interested, you can share it and say it with me. I didn't bring my bag because I thought, aside from my license and my kifo, what do I really need? My Tehillims that I carry around, my purse is there. That's why I'm using this as my Tehillim. Otherwise, I would take on my actual, which I don't have on me. Okay. So a special Chodesh Iyar Shir, both in honor of Chodesh Iyar and in honor of Yom HaAtzma'ut, which begins this Wednesday evening through Thursday. Miriam Peretz relates, Uriel came home exhausted on leave from the army, where he served in the Golani Infantry Brigade. And I sat beside his bed, and I would pull thorns out of his hands, one by one. When I hung up his socks to dry, I prayed, please God, give me socks with thorns, because each thorn represents a step that Uriel takes in this land. Uriel himself wrote, with all the thorns and barbs that have entered my body, you could put together a 3-foot hedge. But these aren't just ordinary thorns. These are thorns of Eretz Yisrael. And whoever lives in this country must know how to accept these thorns with love. Miriam writes, we raised our children on patriotism, on faith, on love. We taught them to be a fighter is a privilege, an honor, a mitzvah. I didn't know anything about the army. I came from Morocco to the Ma'abara in Chatzerim. The rabbi in the camp decided, according to Jewish law, young women should not serve. For many years, I chastised myself for not doing enough for my country. When we lived in Sharm el-Sheikh, I met a woman of the Palmach generation who told me tales of heroism, and I felt a twinge of conscience. Each time I sang the patriotic song with the words, we'll dress you in a robe of concrete and cement, I felt like I was faking it because I had not given anything for this land. I didn't pave any roads. I didn't dry up any swamps. After Uriel fell in combat, a woman sent me a letter. She wrote, "Nu Miriam, now do you understand what you have been given?" Of course, before we celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut this Wednesday evening into Thursday, we will commemorate the pain-filled day of Yom HaZikaron. And yet, says Miriam, my son's deaths, they weren't meaningless. My children endangered their lives on behalf of the land that my great-great-grandparents only dreamed about in the Atlas Mountains in Morocco, yet they never reached. Our country was earned through struggle, And my children fight so we can realize our dreams and aspirations. Those of previous generations, the past, and those dreams of generations to come, the future. The Gemara very famously tells us the first source on your handout, Masechus Yevamah, Samech Beis, 62b. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lama Torah Bialduso, Yomo Torah Biskunaso. If you learn Torah in your youth, you should not give up and you should learn Torah. In your old age, if all your students of your youth died, nevertheless, you should go ahead in your old age and acquire new students. What's wrong?
I know, I don't have one. Who doesn't have that?
Yes, this is correct. The top source on the handout. I can't hear.
Okay. All right, it's just one page?
Okay.
What's wrong? It says on top of your seat, Yevamo 62b. When I introduced the source, I just said it in Hebrew.
You said Rabbi Akiva Omer.
I'm sorry, it's Reish Ayin. Sorry. The first, I'm reading this piece of Gemara, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not on
It's not on there. I know why it's not on there. Thank you all. I know why it's not on there. I wanted to fit into one sheet. So I just didn't give you the introduction to the main piece of Gemara that we're looking over. Thank you very much. I stand corrected. I am sorry for making you crazy. I will continue by quoting the piece of Gemara that's not on your sheet. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lama Torah Bialduso, Yilmo Torah Biskunoso. If you learned, I'll tell you when to look inside. If you learn Torah in your youth, you should learn Torah in your old age. Hayulo Talmidim Bialduso. If you had Talmidim in your youth, if you taught Torah students in your youth and then they all died, what should you do? Yulo Talmidim Biskunoso. You should have students. In your old day, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, a Pasuk from Kohalas, Perikud Aleph, Baboker Zara et Zaracha, in the morning you shall sow your seed, Ula Erev al Tanach Yadcha, and nevertheless in the evening do not let your hand rest. So you should be busy in the morning, you should be busy in the evening. Ki Ein Chayodea, Eze Yekasher, you don't know which is going to be successful, Hazeh Ozo, the work of your youth or the work of your old age. Amru, look inside. Shneim Asar Alef Zugim Talmidim Hayulo the Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, which of course amounts to 24,000. Migivas and Antiparis, two locations in Eretz Yisrael, from Givas to Antiparis, he had 24,000 Talmidim. The Kulan Mesu Beperik Echad, they all died during one time period. Mipnei Shlo Nahagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh, they did not show honor, accord honor for one another. The Hayah Olam Shamim, the world was desolate. There was no Torah. There were 24,000 Talmidim. Without Torah, the world is desolate. Even if there's trees and there's rain and there's flowers and there's produce and the olive groves are blossoming in Eretz Yisrael, without Torah, the world is desolate. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? Achabar Rabbi Akiva, Reish Ayin, that's what Reish Ayin is referring to, Eitzer Rabbeinu Shebedaram, B'shalalem, he went to the south, he didn't give up. Remember, if you had students in your youth, you should have students in your old age. If you learned Torah in your youth, you should learn Torah in your old age. He went to the south, and he taught in the south. Who were they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, V'heim, heim, heim, midu Torah, Oso Shah. And they upheld Torah, so very, very famous. There's much, much to say about this Gemara. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. They all died because they did not show cover for one another on the Pashup Shah. He went to the south. He started again with five. Tana Kula Mesu B'Pesach V'Erod Atzeres. They all died from Pesach to what the Gemara calls Shavuos Atzeres. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Abba. Rabbi Chama Bar Abba says, V'Isamai Rabbi Chia Bar Avin. And some say it was Rabbi Chia Bar Avin. Kula Mesu Misarba. They all died a bad death. Mayhi, what was the bad death? Amar Rabbi Nachman Askara. So the Pashup Shat understanding is something inherent is lacking in the behavior of these 24,000 Talmidim. It was the God of Hadar, Rabbi Akiva. We're not talking about a third class yeshiva, yeshiva Jerushma. We're talking about the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva, the great God of Hadar, and Mida Keneg and Mida. They were punished with Askro, which is an inflammation of the digestive tract. And they died. They didn't show cover to each other through speech. They lost the power of speech, of voice, of breath. If man does not act with the spirit invested with him, Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayim, quoted so often, I haven't quoted it recently, but I quote it very often, and man became a breathing, living spirit. Vayiyadam Menefesh Chai, that's the end of the Pasuk. If man does not use the power of speech appropriately, so it is taken away from him. So Rabbi Akiva comes to teach us in this week's parasha when the pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim Vahavta Recha Kamocha. So it's a Rashi that was made into a song that we all know since we are children. Amar Rabbi Akiva Zakal Gadol V'Tar. It's Parshas Kedoshim in Perek Gedes. In this week's parasha, of course, it's very famous. Love your fellows, you love yourself. Rabbi Akiva says this is a great principle of the Torah. Who better than Rabbi Akiva to teach us that when we do not love for our fellow what we would love for ourselves, the results are disastrous, as he could testify to. Well, this is a very difficult Gemara. Because is it possible that Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim, not one chavrusa pair, had kavod for each other? They were zugim. How is this possible? They each had a zivug. And how is it possible? Shreim asar elef zugim Talmidim hayudo the Rabbi Akiva, not one of 24,000? Haderech Eretz for each other. How do we understand that? It's a very, very difficult Gemara. Rabbi Akiva was a giant in Torah. The Medrash tells us Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, why are you attaching crowns to the letters of Torah? So Hashem says there will one day arise a great scholar who will derive lessons from the crowns. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in the back of Rabbi Akiva's base Medrash, and he did not even understand the Torah Rabbi Akiva was teaching. We're talking about someone who continues to uphold the world today with his teaching. Is it really possible that his Talmidim lack cover for one another? So I heard this idea first proposed many years ago, six, five years ago, by Rabbi Ari Perl, and he was rabbi of the Jewish Center of Atlantic Beach. I heard him say the following thought, and then subsequently, a few years after that, I heard Rav Shai Schechter say the same thought in the name of his father, Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. So I don't know who Rabbi Perl was quoting, but then I heard Rav Shai Schechter say the name of his father, Rav Herschel Schechter. So clearly, this thought that I'm about to share with you has the Haskama of Gedolim. Here we go. This Gemara is not to be taken al pi pasha pshat. It does not mean they did not have kavod for one another. What does it mean? Because it's not possible. So Chazal wanted to allude to something else. What did they want to allude to? It was a time of persecution. These actually 24,000 Talmidim was Shas Hashmad. It was a time of Roman persecution, and the Romans killed these students of Rabbi Akiva. They came, they went to the yeshivas from Givas to Antiparis, all the satellite sites of Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva, and they actually slayed the 24,000 Talmidim. The Gemara does not write that. It was a time of persecution still. So why did they write it like this? So Rav Shai Shachter explained to me in the name of his father, Shlita, that that is because the Gemara Chazal wanted to come up with the most outlandish, most not believable pshat. And when people read this, or learn, I should say, this piece of the Gemara, they're going to say, that's impossible. It cannot possibly be that they didn't have kavod for one another. Chazal must be teaching me something else. It can't be that this pshat is acceptable, because it makes no sense. You have 12,000 zivugim, and not one knew how to have kavod. So along come Chazal, and they put in an allusion to something else. What is the most? This is so impossible. It has to be something else. What else is it? The fact that the Romans came along, and they wanted to totally destroy Torah. They wanted to totally destroy Knesset Yisrael. How would they destroy Knesset Yisrael? Not simply by killing the Jews, but by killing who? The Torah scholars. They knew if they killed the Torah scholars, the future leaders of Klal Yisrael, then they would kill the nation of Am Yisrael. The Romans came and they slaughtered. What do the Romans think? The Romans believe, as do so many of our enemies of the Shir was not prepared last night, Shir was not prepared this morning. And so appropriate and relevant to the matzav in it right now, as we're sitting here, not worrying about a siren going off and having to run to a bomb shelter and fearing for our life, while Acheinu B'nai Yisrael are very much in such a reality right now. This Shir, I think, is very, very relevant. The enemy thinks that if we destroy the Jew, and if we destroy Torah, and if we destroy every yeshiva, and we destroy every bastion, and every Talmud Chacham, they will destroy Knesset Yisrael. And that's what the Romans believed. And therefore, Chazal write, V'hayah olam shamim. The world was absolutely desolate. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Hayah olam shamim. They believed that here we go. Finished. There will be no more Knesset Yisrael with the destruction of every one of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. The world will cease to exist in the blink of an eye. The pasuk at the end of Bereishis tells us, it's on your handout, it is, I'm looking at your handout. Bereishis 1:31. It's the last pasuk of Perek Aleph, pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa v'hinei tov ma'od. Elokim saw all that he made. This is the last pasuk of Ma'isa Bereishis. And behold, it was very good. Vayhi er, vayhi boker, yom hashishi. So we just went through all of Ma'isa Bereishis, and this is how Perek Aleph concludes. And it was the sixth day. No, by shishi, there's a hey hayidi'ah. Okay. Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Hashishi. So the question of Chazal is, why does it say Yom Hashishi? Why doesn't it just say Yom Shishi, Sheni, Yom Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, etc.? Shishi, why Hey Hayadiyah? So Rashi says Yom Hashishi, Hosif Hey Bashishi, Bigmar Maisa Bereishis. At the end of creation, it added a Hey to the sixth day. Lomar, to tell you, Shehitna Imahem, God made a condition with the components of Maisa Bereishis. Ammanashe Yikabu Olei Misra Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Their condition is that Israel accept upon themselves the five books of Torah. So hey is five in Gematria. Yom Hashishi, there was a condition. What is the condition? If Israel accepts upon themselves the five books of Torah, the hey, hayidiyah, the world will continue to exist. It will be tov ma'od. If Israel will not accept the Torah upon themselves, it will not be tov ma'od, because we'll go back to tov vohu. Davar achar, so that's expanding upon the hey, hayidiyah. Hey equals five. Five is chamisha chamshei Torah. Another, I think, davar achar, yom hashishi, the sixth day, kulam tuim v'onim ad yom hashishi. All components of creation were suspended in a state of uncertainty until the sixth day. What was the sixth day? Vav Sivan Hamuchan Matan Torah. So until Israel accepted the Torah, hey Hayidia, five books of Torah. Until we got to the sixth day, Vav Sivan, we're coming up to Shavuos, we're in the count towards Shavuos. Of course, the world hung in a state of uncertainty and balance. Only if we would accept Torah upon ourselves will the world continue to exist. If Klai Yisrael did not accept Torah, everything would become null and void. We will go back to Tohu Vavohu V'choshech Al Pnei Tohom. Yesterday we began Pirkei Avos, for those who have the custom to read Pirkei Avos, one parak a week from Pesach to Shavuos. Some people continue until the Yomim No Ra'am through the summer. So we read this Mishnah yesterday. So Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Beis in Parak Alf. On your handout it says Avos 1:2. Shimon HaTzadik Haya Mishayare Knesset HaGdola. Shimon HaTzadik was from the remainder of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Hu Haya Omer. He used to say, Al Shlosha Dvarim, such a famous Mishnah, you all know this. Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam HaMeid. The world is upheld upon these three things. And Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch explains in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, it doesn't mean the world merely stands upon these three things, but without these three things, the world would cease to exist. They are vital. They're not just holding up the world. They're the essential element. Without these three things, the world would cease to exist. Al Torah ve'al ha'avodah ve'al gemilas chasadim. On Torah, on avodah, and on gemilas chasadim. So the Bartanur, a very famous commentator on the Mishnah, ha'olam omeid, lo nivra ha'olam ela b'shvil shlosha dvarim halal. You should know the world was not even created. The only reason the world was created was for the purpose of Torah, the purpose of avodah, and the purpose of being engaged in acts of gemilas chasadim. That's why the entire world was created, for these three things, al Torah. So el male lo kiblu Yisrael, sa Torah lo nivru shemayim v'aretz. If Israel would not accept the Torah, we will not commit ourselves to learning Torah. We give us an anti-perish name, Asar Alev Zubin Talmidim, Hayula the Rabbi Akiva. Without that, Lo Nivu Shemayim V'Arts, the heavens and earth would not even have been created. Histagel Be'oraisu Ubar Amah. Bereishis bar Elokim, Bereishis b'shvil Torah, Shenikru Bereishis. The Chetiv, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Im lo birisi yama v'layla chuko shemayim v'aretz, lo semti. If not for my covenant of day and night, the statutes, the laws of the heaven and the earth, I would not have placed without the covenant of Torah. There would be no shemayim v'aretz. What's avodah? Avodah's karbanos. We're in Sefer Vayikra now. We spent much time learning about the karbanos, so the world is upheld through Torah. The world is upheld through the avoda, avodas hakabbalah, shakach shanin b'mesachas tainis. As the Gemara says in Mesachas Tainis, so I'm actually going to quote from Mesachas Tainis, where the Gemara says, il male ma'amados, that's still on your hand, if not for the ma'amados, the offerings which are the focus of the watches, lo niskaimu shamayim v'aretz. I'm quoting from the Gemara now inside, if not for the karbanos, the ma'amados, the watches, the purpose of which are the karbanos, the heavens and the earth would not be upheld. How do we know that? So the Gemara actually quotes here from Perek Tesvav Abereishis, the Brisbane Absarm. Shenemar, and Avram said to Hashem, you know, whenever I teach that Avram didn't ask any questions, so somebody always brings up, by the Brisbane Absarm in Perek Tesvav, Avram did ask a question. And he said, but Ma'eda Kirishan, Rav Salvechik says, had Avram Avinu asked questions, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Levim Yisraelis. Faith means not only to believe, but not to ask. That's a quote from the Rambam. So if I ever teach you, so somebody invariably always raises their hand and says, excuse me, Aram did ask a question, but ma'ida kiri shena, with what will I know that I shall inherit it? So that's what the Gemara says here. So the Gemara first teaches you without the ma'amados, the watches and the karbanos, which are the purpose of the temple service, the world would not be upheld. How do we know that? Because Aram Avinu said to the Baruch Shalom, with what, through what shall I know that I will inherit? So Hashem said, Amar Avram, Ribono Shalom, Avram said, Shamei Yisrael Chotin, it's not on your head, I'm quoting from the Gemara. Shamei Yisrael Chotin Lefanecha, perhaps Israel will sin before you. Atao Salem, Kedar Mabel, the Kedar Flaga, you will annihilate them like the Dar Mabel and the Dar Flaga. Amar Lo Lav, Hashem said, no, Amar Lefanev, so Avram said before the Ribono Shalom, Ribono Shalom Hodieti B'mayi Rishem, he was saying, how do I know that you will not destroy Knesset Yisrael when they sin, like you destroyed the Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaFlaga? Amarlei, so Hashem said, what is the Bris Ben Bsarim involved? Taking animals as offerings. So Hashem said, Chali Egla Mishulashos V'ez Mishulashos, take these animals, cut them in half, the fire will go through them. It symbolizes that through the offerings, we have the divine promise that Knesset Yisrael will never be destroyed. So what should we do now? Today we don't have Korbanos. So how do we have a world? So Ribono Shel Olam, Avram said, Tenech bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam, that's fine and good for when the Beis HaMikdash is in existence. Bizman she'ein Beis HaMikdash kayam, like today, how will our world be upheld today? We don't have the ma'amados, and we don't have karbanos, and we don't have the karban tamid, and we don't have the karban chatas, and we don't have the nedava, and we don't have the todas. So what should we do? Matehelein. So Avram said to Hashem, what will be with my children? Amalo, Hashem said, Kfar tikanti lam seder karbanos. I gave them the seder karbanos, bizman shekorim behem lefanei, whenever they read them before me, ma'alani la'ani aleim ki ilu hikruvim lefanei. I will consider it as if they brought the karbanos, v'ani mochal hem al kol v'nasim, and I forgive them from all their sins. So just an aside, as an aside point here for the women here, I'll tell you that before January of 2018, I never said karbanos. I don't know why. I was in taught karbanos in school. I went to Yitz Chai, I went to Beis Yaakov. I actually recently asked my daughter, are you taught karbanos in school? And she said, no. And I never really said karbanos. And it came up in one of my other shiurim that one of the participants in a different shiur, in a different venue, heard a shiur online from Sfisa Balovsky, and he was speaking about the sitter, Shlita, one of the Rosh Yeshivas at YU, and he said that women, if possible, should say part of the karban tamid. I'm getting a long story short. Subsequently, I was in touch with Risa Rotman. Risa Rotman, husband, Chaim Howie Rotman, Hashem Yikom Damo, was one of the Harnof Kedoshim. And she told me that she, one of her neighbors explained to her, one of her daughters explained to her, etc. At least if possible to say the Karban Tamid. I'm not a Rav, I'm not giving you a Psach Halacha, you could ask your owner, but there's a special union to saying the Karbanos. It doesn't take so long to add. So January 2018, I added Karban Tamid just over Pesach, actually. I added the QR and the Sadesh. And if you have time, look inside your sitter, discuss it with your rabbi. I'm just pointing out that there is something important. Say, I don't know why they don't teach it to girls or women. Maybe in certain schools they do. I don't know. It's not so pasha to skip it over. Okay? Al avoda. Finally, v'al gemilas chasadim. Dichsiv olam chasad yibana. The world is constantly, yibana is in the future tense. Not olam chasad bana. Olam chesed yibaneh. The world is constantly being rebuilt on chesed. Ugmilas chasadim. What does it mean? L'sameh chasanim, l'nachem aveirim, we should never know, l'valker cholim, b'liv karmesim, v'kayotzev izeh. So for these three things, the world was created. For Torah, for avoda, we have just spoken about avoda, we don't have karbanos today, what should we do? We spoke about karbanos a little bit. And finally, gmilas chasadim, and the Rambam writes, Chachma is Torah, Milos Amidos, I don't even know how to translate that. A high level of Midos is Gmilas Chasadim, Uvishmiras Mitzvahs HaTorah, Heim HaKarbanos, once again. Okay. So the Romans understood that if we dafka destroy the Torah scholars, then we destroy Torah, then we will annihilate Knesset Yisrael. Rav Salvechuk says, quote, we have already noted that during the last century of the existence of the Beis HaMikdash, even right after the Churban, Rome did not institute any religious persecution. Very, very interesting. In the immediate aftermath of the Churban, there was no religious persecution. On the contrary, the Roman governors in Jerusalem received strict orders not to interfere with the rituals in the Beis HaMikdash while it was still standing, and the religious rituals right after. But suddenly, 60 to 65 years after the Churban, Rome's policy completely changed, and they suddenly became one of the worst religious persecutors in our history. When we read of the Asar HaVugamachus, both in the Yom Kippur Avoda and on Tisha B'Av, we're referring, of course, to the Roman persecution. So what changed? Before the Churban Beis Hamikdash Vayisheni, and immediately after Vayisheni, through 60 years after the Churban, the Romans did not religiously persecute the Jews. So what changed? Apparently Rome, says Rav Soloveitchik, a very important and powerful piece of the Rav, realized it had made a mistake. They believed that once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, they would have no problems with the Jews as a separate entity. They assumed the Jewish people would assimilate into general society. That was open to them. All they had to do, thought Rome, was destroy the Beit HaMikdash. They assumed it would not be necessary to touch Torah and Jewish observances. Once they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, they figured, that's it. In fact, if we look at the Nazis, not only were they hell-bent on leather, upon his very much intended, on killing the Jews themselves, but they went into the Batei Knesios, and they went into the yeshivas, and they went into our religious places of worship, and they destroyed those as well. Rome believed if it only destroyed only the Beis HaMikdash, it will destroy Knesset as well. But something peculiar happened, and the Jews were not destroyed. They were continuing to expand. They were continuing to teach. Rabbi Akiva lived at the time of the Churban. And how could it be that they were continuing to teach Torah? Rome believed you destroy the epicenter of their worship. You destroy the Makom Karbanos. You will destroy Knesset Yisrael. There will be no more Jewish people. Rome realized, even though they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they had not managed to destroy the Jewish community. It was as loyal to God, the Jewish community, after the Churban, as they had been when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. So Rome realized the strength of the Jew is not dependent in a building. The strength of the Jew is not dependent on the temple per se. In fact, it's almost 2,000 years since the Churban, and Baruch Hashem, we are very much still here. So yes, we pine and we long and we daven for the day of rebuilding, but that is not the cohesive force that unites Knesset Yisrael. The Torah, says the Rav, quote, is the cohesive force that unites the Jews and helps them carry on even under the worst of circumstances. The observance of Jewish law is what unites us. And when Rome realized that they were not successful in eradicating Knesset Yisrael just because they destroyed the temple, they came up with a program of religious persecution, restrictive decrees, the Asar HaVugamachus, and perhaps in light of this teaching of Rav Soloveitchik, we can understand the pshat that I quoted before, brought down by first heard by Rabbi Aryeh Pro, and then brought down in the name of Herschel Schachter Shlita, that the Romans understood that only through Shmad, an absolute destruction of Torah and Torah scholars, would they be successful in eradicating Knesset Yisrael. It's not enough to destroy our buildings. As long as we cling to Torah and each other, which is Gemilas Chasadim, and we maintain our avoda of Korbanos, or saying the Korbanos, Knesset Yisrael will always still be here. And this year was actually prepared the day of, or I don't remember exactly when, I'll tell you, you'll hear in a minute. Quote, the world is in shock at the burning down of the Notre Dame, am I saying it right? Am I saying it right? Yeah. Cathedral in Paris. Construction of the Notre Dame began in 1163 during the reign of King Louis VII and was completed in 1345. The cathedral is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, part of the UN, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, a worldwide Parisian icon and the location of some of the most important moments in the history of France. Henry VI of England was crowned inside the cathedral in 1431. Napoleon Bonaparte was crowned Emperor of France in 1804 inside the cathedral. On Monday, April 15th, 2019, a major blaze, and I'm sure you all saw this in the news, tore through the iconic church. Bells tolled at the cathedrals across France 48 hours after the fire began. One worshiper, Cecile Delaville, can hardly look at the destruction. She has been worshiping there for 44 years. She, referring to the Notre Dame, she said, was so beautiful. The sky is so sad. This is such a shock to me, she said. Notre Dame stands damaged but defiant. She's defiant. Wow. Baruch Hashem. That's very sarcastic. For the fire that raged for at least 12 hours, halavai the world should have a quarter of the sympathy for Jewish blood and burning that they have for this building. Inside, where the spire collapsed, the altar was buried in debris, but the cross, quote, is almost shining. The pews are still in place. Paris' City Hall released pictures of the inside of the 850-year-old church, showing the soot-filled sanctuary covered in debris. The roof, with its 800-year-old wooden beams, is gone. Even though flames swept over the cathedral, much of the interior was saved. Her two medieval bell towers are intact. The stained glass rose windows appear mostly undamaged. Two New York City landmarks, One World Trade Center and the spire of the Empire State Building, lit up in blue, white, and red in solidarity with the people of France and the Catholic community. CBS News reports, our hearts ached as we watched a devastating fire rage one of the world's most sacred and celebrated religious monuments. The Notre Dame Cathedral, century of history, art, iconic architecture, are irreplaceable. We are deeply grateful to the brave first responders who worked diligently to extinguish the flames and save portions of this piece of French and Catholic history, said New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. New York stands in solidarity with the people of France and Catholics worldwide who are mourning their tremendous loss. James Shepherd, director at the Washington National Cathedral, said, that's 800 years of history of people pilgrimaging there, worshiping there, 800 years of the accumulation of culture. All of that will have to be taken into consideration as they try to repair the church and save it after the devastating fire. The Maharam Rottenberg authored the 41st Kina, which is recited on Tisha B'Av. He composed this Kina after the burning of the Talmud in Paris in 1242, right in front of the Notre Dame. The Kina describes the tragic event in Jewish history. In 1240, an apostate Jew named Nicholas Donin recommended to King Louis, the IX, that if he wanted, it's good you're all here with me, correcting me, pronunciation, Roman numerals, that if he wanted to get rid of the Jews once and for all, the only way to do that was by destroying their Torah. The Roman legacy of Shmad, Ukula Mesu Biperek Echad, Bipesach V'Aratzeros, Mipnei Shalom Nohagu Kavod Zebzer. Who could believe that? How could you believe that of 12,000 Tzivugim, not one Habrusa pair had Kavod? This is ludicrous, it's asinine, it's impossible, our Feshul Shechtel teaches, it can't be. So what are Chazal coming to tell me? They knew our secret of Jewish continuity, the Romans. They understood the cohesive force that unites us is not a language. You're stuck in the middle of Yehupitzville and you see another Jewish family, it happens to be they're speaking French, you feel like you just met your best friend and your brother and you're ready to hug them. They don't even speak your language, it's not the language that unites us. It's not a building that unites us. It's not even Rachmanu Litzlan, a land that unites us, because through 2,000 years of Gola, somehow the Am Yisrael remained a united, cohesive people. Ashosh Shadvarim Ha'olam Omei. First is Torah. So the Romans understood if they came to the Yeshiva satellite offices from Give Us to Antiparis and they destroyed those 24,000 Talmidim, they would destroy Knesset Yisrael. Because they thought if we destroy the temple, we'll destroy the people. If we exile them to Rome and we put them fighting as gladiators in the Colosseum, we'll destroy the people. And it didn't work. So 60 to 65 years later, they came up with a program of persecution. Quote, in 1240, King Louis realized or believed that if he wanted to destroy the Jewish people, all he had to do was destroy Torah. So the king and the church, while everyone is mourning and sending condolences to the Catholic Church for their tremendous loss, the king and the church, in the mid-1200s, 13th century, had all copies of the Talmud confiscated on March 3rd, 1240. They were placed in a public square in Paris, which is currently the location of the city hall and the mayor's office. In all, there were 24 cartloads of Talmud. 24 cartloads, thousands of volumes. The king invited four rabbis to debate with Donin the fate of 24 cartloads hanging in the balance. The disputation revolved around whether the Gemara commands the Jews to despise the non-Jews and the Christians. The result of the debate were predetermined. There was no chance. It was a mock trial. There was no defense for the Jews or the Torah. The Talmud was condemned to burn. Transcripts of the debate still exist. And even according to the Latin transcript, it was by no means a win. The queen herself told the accusers they were trying too hard. But the fate of Torah was a foregone conclusion. The Jews were shocked. Why was this so horrific? The Nazis also burnt our Torah. The Nazis, this past fall, I was in LA a couple times for work. And one of the times I was with my husband, we had some time together, and we went to the Museum of Tolerance, the Simon Wiesenthal Center Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles, very moving. If you're ever there on Friday, right before Shabbos, a former white supremacist speaks. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we went 2 days in a row. It was very, very moving. But one of the things we saw, and I'm sure you've seen this in other places also, were like the soles of Nazi shoes that were Torah, and the drums that was lined with Torah, and the saddle packs they lined with Torah. So the Nazis also destroyed Torah. Why was this so terrible and so shocking? Specifically what the church did, it was before the printing press. And they believed that they destroyed every single handwritten manuscript in those 24 cartloads. Paris, 9th of Tammuz, 5002, 1242. Blood-curling, hay-filled cries echo through the streets of Paris. Bring the book, shout the mob. Over 20 wagons filled with 12,000 handwritten manuscripts are brought to the stake that has been set ablaze in the public square. The proceedings are overseen by the priests who have front row seats to view the spectacle. Royal guards lift the svarim from the wagons and cast them into the raging fire. The ramifications of this were tremendous because each one of the volumes was handwritten. This was 200 years before the printing press. There was not a Gemara to be found in all of France. Many of the volumes burned had the actual handwritten glosses of the Balei HaTosfos in the margins, lost forever. The Maharam Meyrottenberg was 27 years old at this time, and he composed this kinah. But it's evident from the kinah, he saw potentially the end of Torah as we know it. And he laments, "No longer will I hear the voices of your singers. The song of Torah has been stilled. There will be no more Torah scholars." It's the very next words, even if you look in the sequence of the Gemara. So we understand it was a time of religious persecution. It's the most outlandish thing. No one will possibly believe that that is possible. So we will all understand the Gemara is referring to something else. It has to be Shas Hashmad. And the very next words, V'hayahu Olam Shamayim. And they believed that that was the end. There was not a Gemara to be found. Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, the father of the Rosh, and one of the debaters, what did he do? One of the debaters who lost, because they never stood a chance, gathered 300 students at Shabbat, Rabbi Kiva Eitzel, Rabbi Hosseini Shabbadarom. It's not in your handout. Hayulo Talmidim B'Yalduso, Yulo Talmidim B'Skunaso, Lama Torah B'Yalduso, Yulma Torah B'Skunaso. Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, the father of the Rosh, one of the debaters, gathered 300 students and taught them Shas from memory, which they recorded. Remarkably, when compared to the Munich manuscript, one of the only Shasim we have from before the burning, they are almost exactly the same. He taught them the teachings of the Balei HaTosfos. Rabbi Moshe of Kusi was another one of the debaters, let's say for Mitzvos Haggadah, which codified and explained all the mitzvos. It's still a primary text used today. So while the world was mourning its sticks and stones, the spire, the cross, the stained glass windows, they stood, they didn't stand. How ironic that in front of this historic place of art, of culture, the bastion of the Catholic Church, they burned what they believed was our future. They burned what they believed was our past. They believed what they burned was our present. Because Ribbono Shel Olam made a tnai with the elements of Bereishis, we will only continue to exist b'sfil Torah. Reishis Ba'alokim, Reishis B'shvil Torah Shenikru Reishis. You will only continue to exist for Torah. And the Romans realize it's not the Beis Hamikdash that unites the people. It's not even Eretz Yisrael that unites the people. It's not a building that unites the people. We better destroy Torah because these people are not going anywhere. And that was echoed centuries later in Paris in front of the Notre Dame. Of Salvechik commenting on the Kina of the Maharam Meirautenberg, the Rav. There is another tragedy that we include in the Kinos of Tisha B'Av. We devote an entire Kina to the burning of the Talmud, a martyrdom that consisted not in the destruction of people, but in the destruction, says the Rav, of books. This is the Kina that begins with Sha'ali Surufa Ba'esh by the famous Maharam of Rautenberg, the teacher of the Rosh. Many of the customs of the Ramah come from the Rosh, and the Rosh received them from the Maharam in Rautenberg. He was the last of the Balei Tosfos, and it is appropriate on Tisha B'Av that we recite this Piyutz HaZarav. This Kina concerns the burning of the Torah Sheba'al Peh in Paris in the 13th century. It took place 38 years after the Rambam's death. This was not just a fickle, despicable act on the part of the church. It was not on a whim. It was premeditated. It was determined. It was calculated. It was well thought out. They had a plan to collect the holy books of Torah, all of Torah Sheba'al Peh, from all the towns and all the villages in Europe, from Germany, France, England, Italy, wherever they could find Hebrew books, the church collected them. They brought them to Paris and they burned them in the central square. All the books were burned, not only the Talmud. If they found the Siddur, if they found the Chumash, if they found the Navi, they found the Tehillim, they set fire and they burned for many days. There were no heroic firefighters who gave their lives to save our holy books. But why all the fuss on Tisha B'Av, says the Rav? The event did not include the destruction of lives. It wasn't a Moshe Agadi Hashem Yikom Dama who was killed just now in Eretz Yisrael. It was only, says the Rav, the destruction of parchment. So why do we mourn? The answer is very simple. If this happened in our time, says the Rav, meaning in our generation, we would mourn. But the future of Knesset Yisrael would not be threatened. The entire future. If a king told us to destroy all our books, it would be a terrible loss. We would act like mourners, but there would still be a Jewish people and there would still be a future. We would be able to reproduce the books. But this event occurred before the printing press. All books were in manuscript form. They were rare, precious, very expensive, time-consuming. In the Middle Ages, when the Vatican said every book in Hebrew letters, the Vatican, the church, how many of our ancestors have been killed in the name of the church? The Vatican said every book written in Hebrew, as we just had Yom HaShoah. We just had Yom HaShoah. Had to be destroyed. It meant, why do we have this kina? They understood that there was a very real and serious danger that Torah would be lost. This is what they believed. This is what they were afraid of. This was the fear. The Balei Tosfos, the Maharam and Rautenberg considered the tragedy to be a major catastrophe, says the Rav. They figured without these manuscripts, Torah Sheba'al Peh would be forgotten. They were afraid it would be impossible to continue spreading the message of Torah. Hayah Olam Shomeim. They thought they were facing complete destruction because the Torah would be forgotten. We have today one manuscript of the Talmud, the so-called Dikduke Sofrim manuscript, no, Munich manuscript, quoted in the Dikduke Sofrim, which contains variations between this manuscript and our edition of the Talmud. All others were burned. This kina was written in a very pessimistic mood. You can feel the Maharam's fear. The Torah will be forgotten. They considered this to be a catastrophe of a magnitude perhaps greater and more menacing than the destruction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now we can understand based on our learning today. They considered this act, this vile act, to be more damaging, a catastrophe of greater significance than the burning of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because we understand that it's not the Kodesh HaKadoshim that unites us. We daven for it, we pine for it, we yearn for it, we hope for the day it will be rebuilt, but the cohesive force that unites the Jews is Torah. And when the enemy understands that, that's what they go after. The Maharam equated the catastrophe of the burning of the holy books with the burning of the Beis Hamikdash. Without Torah, says the Rav, quote, there is no Knesset Yisrael. And in fact, says the Rav, it is one of the greatest miracles, I'm quoting, this is from the Rav commentary on the Kinos and Tisha B'Av. It is one of the greatest miracles in Jewish history that despite the burning, the Torah did survive. The Torah was not forgotten. On the contrary, people with dedication and a sense of commitment were stimulated to spend hundreds of thousands of whatever coin they had to recopy the manuscripts. It was illegal, but they did it. And Baruch Hashem, says the Rav, thank God, Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebetav, and Am Yisrael have survived. It's so important for us to remember for our lives, the lives of our future, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, or Al Talmidim, that the Romans attempted to destroy us. They realized Churban was not the answer. By persecuting Torah and her scholars. And ancient Rome is a relic from the past. Ancient Rome is remembered. How hopeful. This year is not a depressing year. This year is a year of hope and triumph. And the torchlighters light the torch on Yom HaTzmut. They say the Tiferet Medina Yisrael. It's not a depressing shir, it's a shir of unbelievable hope. Vayolam shomeim. Rabbi Kiva worked his whole life. Okay, he started when he was 40. To change himself into a person of Torah, to become the God of all Torah, to establish a whole world of Torah. It was a time of terrible persecution. You do the math, it's like 730-something funerals a day. And the Romans thought the world would be destroyed because they destroyed Torah. And the church thought the Torah will be destroyed and Am Yisrael will be destroyed. In the central cathedral in France in 1242. Who's here and who's not here? How ironic that the great Notre Dame Cathedral witnessed the burning of Torah. What the church believed was the end of Kol Torah Kula was burned before the eyes of the world. How absurd that a hounded, hated, reviled, and persecuted nation, we can all raise our hand as being part of that. Hounded, hated, reviled, and persecuted nation. Are you part of that? I am. Being in every generation, only by the grace of God, should be able to establish a state in their eternal home. Does it make any sense? Mamish makes no sense. How amazing to consider that all of the nations that have attempted to destroy us and our Torah, as Kol HaYehudim, all aspects of being Jewish, not only all Jews, all aspects of our Jewishness, including Torah, Minarva Zakin Tafanashim, not one remains. Not ancient Rome, not the Parisian church of the 1200s, not the Crusaders, the Cossacks, not the perpetrators of the Chelminsky massacres, Gzeres Tach V'Tach, 1648, 1649, not the Inquisitors, not the Byzantines, not the Ottomans, not the ancient Greeks, not Nazi Germany, not Esav, not Paro, not Lavan, not Haman, Malachi B'Yadush, Esav, son of the Yaakov, and yet each absolutely believed with certainty. Abinos, Bonosaya, Tsonso, Naya, Banim, Banai, Chashar, Tara, Elihu. They would be the one to destroy us all. Babam, Bikesh, Akar, Sakal. And yet, they have all come and they have all gone. While the world mourns the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral, let us marvel at our existence. Let us give thanks for our miraculous survival. Hodu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto. Our old new state, a Medina Yisrael, our triumph through the ages despite every imaginable odd. Netzach Yisrael Lo Yeshaker. Rabbi Beryl Wine quotes a West Point general as remarking that through the United States Military Academy studies, wars fought throughout the world. I'm going to repeat that. I didn't say that sentence properly. Rabbi Beryl Wine is brought down in the book Reason to Believe by Rabbi Jachter. Rabbi Beryl Wine quotes a West Point general as remarking that though the United States Military Academy studies wars fought throughout the world, it does not study the Six-Day War. You understand? The United States Army studies strategies and lessons from wars fought throughout the world. At the United States Military Academy, West Point General teaches, why don't we study the Six-Day War? Quote, because West Point is interested in strategy and tactics, not miracles. Rabbi Yehuda Amital said, Sal related that before the six-day work, there were American Jewish leaders who pleaded with the Israeli government to evacuate the children from Israel. The annihilation of the state and its people were expected. The chief rabbinate of Israel, the Rabbanut HaReshi, designated public parks as burial sites with over 80,000 deaths expected. I need a pen. Thank you. Once, while walking in the forest, deep in thought and meditation, the Baal Shem Tov heard a child crying. Following the cry, the Baal Shem Tov found a little boy frightened and shivering in the dark. And the Besh said, "Why are you in the forest all by yourself?" he asked the child. The child was calmed when he saw this gentle, kind man. And the child said, "I was playing hide and seek with my friends. I waited for them to find my hiding place. They didn't discover it. They have all gone home. It's dark. I'm alone. I'm frightened." With that, the boy began to cry. "Do not cry, little boy," said the Baal Shem Tov. "I will bring you home." Baal Shem Tov says that this is a mashal. This parable is a metaphor for God and the Jews. Since the beginning of our time as a people, we have actively searched for God. We have sought out a meaningful relationship with Him. And every time, in every place, at Shabbat, Rabbi Akiva, Yitzhak, B'Sinai, Shabbat, Ram, we won't give up. Even when we were exiled from our land and God's face was hidden, we searched for Him. But now, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the lost child. The Ribbono Shel Olam cries, I wait, and it's dark, and I'm waiting for you to find me. Look for me. Find the inherent godliness and holiness in everything that you do. But it seems that my children have become tired of the search, and in the darkness of today's, and it's a very dark world. In the confusion of the forest, in the confusion of our lives and material aspirations, we have all gone home. And the Ribbono Shel Olam sits, Al Eila Ani Bochia. The city cries, Eini Eini Yardamayim. We have stopped looking. Today our world is dark, and our enemies are many, many. The family of Lord Gilbert Kay just got off from Shiva. Family of Moshe, what's his last name? What did I say his last name? Agadi is going to begin their Shiva. But history has proven time and again, and time and again, and time and again, that the eternity of Knesset Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael will always triumph. Those who rise up against us, though in the short term, yes, they darken our eyes, they darken our minds, they darken our hearts. They make the world seem so bleak and so dark, but they will go the way of all previous enemies. To museums, to history, to the past. They go up in smoke, like a cathedral of Notre Dame, which witnessed the burning, the end of the Torah so many years ago. And Am Yisrael, we will continue to search and we will continue to seek out God, even when He is hidden. For if history has proven one thing, and one thing only, it is that Am Yisrael, despite every single imaginable odd, is an eternal, glorious, committed, hopeful, and triumphant people. I began with Miriam Peretz, and I'm going to end with Miriam Peretz. Miriam Peretz writes of the year she lit the torch. It's about 5 years ago. How could I switch from memorial to rejoicing in the blink of an eye? At the beginning of the day, I stood on Har Herzl, at the main ceremony, standing beside the graves, just like every other year. I'm torn by the question of which son's grave I should stand by during the siren. This year, I decided to stand by Eli Raz. As I stood there, I heard the Prime Minister speaking, saying, on that hill, on this evening, Miriam Peretz would be lighting a torch. I bent down to Eli Raz's grave and I said, "You hear, Eli Raz, the Prime Minister is talking to you and to Uriel." After the memorial ceremony, Yom HaZikron, I went home. Hundreds of people came and went, and at 4 o'clock, my daughter Hadass said, "Ima, the taxi will arrive at 5. Get ready for the torch lighting." I felt confused. Just a minute ago, I had been sitting in the yard with friends and we were talking and remembering Uriel and Eli Rust. Now I should go up to my room? I should get dressed? I should put on makeup? How could I make such a sudden transformation? When I go back to the living room, I'm dressed in a black suit and heels. I was a different Miriam. I prayed to God with another request, and I said, God, tonight amongst the flags and the lights, amongst the thousands of people celebrating and rejoicing, let me see my Uriel and Eli Rust in the audience. Help me, God. Don't let me see their graves. I was afraid I would shake or I would stumble, but the moment I heard the master of ceremonies announcing my name with the song, Po Be'eretz, I can't even say this, Po Be'eretz Chemdat Avot. We say, Eretz Chemdat Tova, Rechava, Asher Asisim, Michato, Vaseinu. When the master of ceremony announced her name, he said, Po Be'eretz Chemdat Avot. Playing in the background. One second. One second. My feet carried me forward. I walked onto the stage with dance steps, as if the weight of years had been lifted, as if the pain and longing had disappeared. With each step, I sang to myself, Hithna'ari, Me'afar Kumi. For just a moment, I was Miriam Ohayan, the redhead in my youth, full of life and happiness. I heard my father's voice whispering in my ear, Ya binti, my dear daughter. I saw my mother Ito placing her hands on my head to bless me. The audience filled the ceremony area. We were one big family, uniting in a loving embrace. When I lit the torch and I reached the standard phrase recited by all torchlighters, Litif Eret, Medina Yisrael, I knew what the price of the glory of the state of Israel was. I saw Uriel and Eli Rust standing before me, and I told them, you are the glory. Thanks to you and your friends, we have a state today. The Tif'eret Medinat Yisrael, we are celebrating its independence. I wish you all a chodesh tov. Thank you, everybody. Besoros tovos.